Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dean Richards Entertainment Report, now sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design. And everybody's talking about Bob Saget. He reached people of all ages on those different shows, didn't he, Dean?
Yeah, he really did. I mean, if you think about when Full House was in its prime, it was the late 80s and the early 90s. So, you know, people of two certain people of a certain age. Bob Saget was America's dad.
Yep.
You know, and they look at him in that way. I always thought of him as, you know, kind of like an altar boy, the perfect guy in front of the family, you know, the wholesome, well-behaved in front of everybody. But you get him back in the hallways later on, and he starts peeling off some of these jokes that for which he's become so famous in his stand-up comedy. For being on the raw side, on the raucous side, on the naughty side. Nobody told a better double entendre than him. Nobody told just a single entendre. He was the master of those kinds of jokes, but interestingly, never at anyone's expense. I mean, the jokes were they were raw and they were dirty. It never attacked anybody. It never was personal in that way. He was a master of stand-up comedy. And so it's a little bit ironic that he was found dead in his hotel room in Orlando, Florida, after doing a show just the night before, about which he tweeted, by the way, saying how much he loved being back on stage again. He forgot how addicted he is to stand-up comedy, how much he loved it. He did a two-hour stand-up show. Rather unprecedented. He was looking forward to the rest of his tour, encouraged people to go to his website to see his future dates in 2022. And then it was, he was found in his room later on. The sheriff's department there ruled, well, they haven't ruled anything about the cause of death yet, but they said there was no sign of foul play. There were no signs of any drugs or anything like that, so we don't really know the cause of death yet. We're gonna wait for the official reports to come out regarding that. Because we have so many stand-up comedians that come on our show, we know a lot of people who are very, very close friends with Bob Saget, and they said that he was a clean guy. He didn't do drugs. He took care of himself. He ate properly. He exercised.
And he was only 65, right?
Only 65 years old. You know, he did everything that you're supposed to do. So it doesn't sound like there would be any foul play regarding this. I did learn that his father died of congestive heart failure. So I don't know if there was a history of heart trouble in his family or not.
I know his sister passed away when she was only 47, I think.
Yeah, scleroderma, which is a skin disease. Mm-hmm. And Bob became very involved with the Scleroderma Research Foundation, did lots and lots of charity work for them. But she did die young. That's, it's very true. So, but, it doesn't make any sense to speculate, really. I mean, I guess everyone's a little curious when somebody of that age passes away. We'll find out soon enough what the cause of death was. But he left a tremendous legacy, and you can tell that by how people are reacting today. The entire comedy world is reacting and tweeting to his death. Among them, his Full House castmates, including Dave Coulier, who played Joey on the show, said, "My heart is broken. I love you, Bob. Your forever brother, Dave." Mary Kate and Ashley Olson, who shared the duties as Bob Saget's youngest daughters on the show, Michelle, they wrote that Bob was the most loving, compassionate, generous man. "We are deeply saddened that he's no longer with us, but no, he'll continue to be by our side to guide us as we as gracefully as he always had." The legendary producer Norman Lear wrote, Bob Saget was as lovely a human being as he was funny. To my mind, he was hilarious. We were close friends, and I could not have loved him more. I heard a podcast that he did in which he talked about some of the legends in comedy. He was very close friends with Don Rickles, but he had a great respect for the legends in the business. And ironically, he wrote a fairly lengthy memorial to about Betty White on her passing last week, describing meeting her for the first time, encountering her on a plane, joking around with her on the plane in a very naughty way that I couldn't possibly repeat to you here on the air. But he liked the classics and spoke glowingly about them. Jim Gaffigan, Steve Martin, Jon Stewart, Gilbert Gottfried, the one comedian after another reacting and talking about what a great guy Bob Saget was.
So many of those descriptions of him use the words sweet and kind.
And those are not words that are often found in the entertainment industry. John Stamos, who played Uncle Jesse on the Full House show, said, "I am broken. I am gutted. I am in complete and utter shock. I will never have another friend like him. I love you so much, Bobby." I mean, it's one reaction after that. Jim Gaffigan saying that what a warm, kind man we have lost. The world has lost one of the nicest. So that gives you an idea of what his friends, his contemporaries, thought of him. He was with us here frequently on WGN. Whenever he was in town, he would come by, and I can echo that. What a nice guy he was, down to earth, charitable, not full of himself at all. And then when he got into the hallway with the guys, had us down on the floor laughing with filthy jokes.
Yeah.
So
and married to a local gal, Kelly Rizzo, a social media influencer.
That's right. Exactly.
When I was commuting and working on the CBS show West 57th in the 80s, there was a lot of talk in the hallways about this new guy who was a comedian who they were trying out on the CBS morning news, Bob Saget. And that's really how he got started in New York. And then got America's Funniest Videos was a big hit.
He was the narrator on How I Met Your Mother and did a few movies. He did some documentaries. It was quite a career in life that he had. But it's just so shocking because, people who knew him said he was in very good health, and they're very surprised that something so sudden happened like this.
We'll get to Dwayne Hickman, who passed away also, and also hear a little bit of Dean's interview with Jessica Chastain coming up, sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design. Dean, I think the most interesting thing about Dwayne Hickman was that he went on to be a CBS executive and a lot of things to do with programs like MASH and Maud and Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, a lot of the big shows that you remember on CBS from the 1970s and 80s. Dwayne Hickman was one of the suits making the decision. If you don't remember the Dobie Gillis show, the many loves of Dobie Gillis, this was the theme song that'll bring back some memories.
Dobie, once a gal was dreamy, Dobie, once a gal was dreamy, Dobie, once a gal to call his own.
I was a fan of Maynard G. Krebs, personally.
Me too. I mean, this was the first show that really focused on the baby boom generation, the teenagers and slightly above the teenagers, and the many romances of Dobie.
Brought to you by Pillsbury.
Got a commercial in here also.
Pillsbury.
Gotta love that. But Maynard G. Krebs was his kind of beatnik friend. His buddy, and Maynard G. Krebs, of course, went on to actor Bob Denver went on to be Gilligan on Gilligan's Island that we all remember on the show. But he, Dwayne Hickman, who after the Dobie Gillis show went on, did some movies, went out. Here's a crazy idea for an actor. He went out and got a degree in engineering.
Wow.
At Loyola University. And then went into the network TV business. He died of complications of Parkinson's disease, 87 years old.
Let's talk about Spider-Man still cleaning up at the box office, right?
Yeah, still fourth week in a row now that it was the number one movie. It took in another $33 million. Now its total take, $668 million, making it the sixth highest grossing movie of all time. Of all time. After that, it wasn't even close. Sing 2 came in the number two spot. The movie, The 355, made under $5 million, followed by The King's Man and American Underdog. Movies that are geared toward adults are getting killed at the theaters this weekend. Only, you know, action movies, movies geared for kids are the only ones making any money at actual theaters these days.
How's the Jessica Chastain movie?
It's okay. You know, it's a Mission Impossible type movie, Bourne Identity type movie, but with an all female primary cast, Penelope Cruz, Diane Kruger, among others, and Jessica Chastain, who happens to be the executive producer of the movie. It's called The 355. When I talked to her on a Zoom chat, she explained to me what that meant.
Explain what the 355 means.
355 was the code name for Washington's first female spy. And she worked during the American Revolution, and her real identity is unknown to this day. And so our consultants who worked on this film told us that 355 is a moniker, like a badge of honor that women who work in espionage give each other. You know, it's a way of honoring the 355, the woman who was unknown, but we're still acknowledging her for her bravery and her sacrifices.
So what did it mean to you to have such a female-centric movie, you know, an environment that is so different than most movie sets, I would think?
It was heaven. I mean, we had dance parties. Lupita would show up on set. That was like one of my favorite days. She showed up on set carrying a Bluetooth speaker with like a playlist and was dancing. And so every once in a while, all of us would like break into dance.
I've got four more agents.
Yeah, so I gave the movie a Dean's List B. It's, you know, not terribly original. You've seen the plot line before, but kind of interesting to see women as the antagonists in this movie. Speaking of movies, by the way, the Golden Globes were last night. Wasn't on television, wasn't streamed. No stars, no speeches. It was basically an Instagram one posting after another. Power of the Dog won Best Drama. West Side Story won Best Comedy or Musical. It should win the award, the movie that nobody's going to see. Unfortunately, but it did win Best Motion Picture or Comedy last night.
If Golden Globes is not on TV, does anyone notice?
Does it even exist?
Thanks, Dean. Talk to you tomorrow.